Welcome to Falcons Audible, presented by AT&T. I'm Dave Archer, and I've got two heavy hitters with me. I've got Torrey McElhaney, and I've got DJ Shockley.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to get covered on free agency today because there's a lot going on with this team, guys. We talked a little bit about the quarterback. We'll revisit what we talked about a little bit with Kirk Cousins because there's more to talk about there. But there's been a bunch of guys that have come in and joined this football team in a number of different areas. We'll try to dive into all that for you and give you kind of some clarity as to what that makes that depth chart look like. And maybe we get Torrey and Shock to tell us who we're going to draft with the number 8 pick. I don't know.
I have to make 8 mock drafts. I keep telling people, I'm like, at some point, I'll put out a mock draft that has the guy you want me to take. Yeah. But I got to do 8 of these. So just be patient. I'll take somebody, you know, that you want. I'll take Dallas Turner at some point.
There
give me
go.
A break.
Torrey,
back.
First off, we know you're not a stranger to the podcast world.
Right, yeah.
But we want to welcome you into Falcons Audible. You know,
thanks, you guys.
Sit in for our guy, Rack.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do a great job for the Falcons.
Well, in all honesty, I think we've upgraded.
No. don't clip that for Rack. Don't clip it for Rack.
So let's just dive into it, guys.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, obviously the biggest free agent signing probably in the National Football League. I don't think that's unfair to say, Torrey?
No, I think that's totally fair. I mean, it's the one move that I felt like was bigger than all the rest. And when you knew that the Falcons were coming into this offseason, it's like they have to have a starting quarterback. That was blatantly obvious from the moment the 2023 season ended. And because of that, it was kind of like, okay, what direction are they going to go in? And Arch, I know we talked about it on our last podcast, but to me, if I'm looking at what the moves of this free agency was for the Falcons, the word that kind of comes to mind is enlightening. Mm-hmm. I felt like we learned a lot about, one, how the Falcons view themselves and what they needed in the moment, how close they feel like they are to kind of being there, being where they want to be, and putting together a team that they feel can go out and be successful. And the first linchpin of that, the first domino to fall of that, was going out and getting someone like Kirk Cousins who you know can come in immediately and you hope can make a difference offensively.
Chuck, I know you had a chance to sit down with him with Fox 5 and you guys sat down and talked a little bit about him coming here, the background he has with the city. Why should Falcon fans be excited about Kirk Cousins being an Atlanta Falcon?
1-8, let's start there.
Yeah.
Man, rocking to 18 now.
Okay.
You know what, I think Torrey just used the word enlightened. And I think the word that comes to mind for me is rejuvenation.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think about that, you think about
you guys are all using some big words, man.
We got to bring. I mean, I know you got one there. Come on. I get to talk to you all the time, so I know about it. But yeah, you think about adding a guy like Kirk Cousins, and we're going to talk about some of the other pieces you added to. But when you think about adding a guy who's been in the league 12 years, who has had the success he's had, and think about what he will bring to this organization, I think that's the biggest piece that I think they wanted to make sure that they got right. And I think you opened up by saying, hey, one of the biggest, you know, storylines of this offseason has been signing Kirk Cousins. And when you sign a guy like Kirk, you know exactly what he's about. You know he's a leader for one. You talk to him, you notice a guy who has an idea of where he wants his career to go. He has an idea of how he wants this organization to look, how he wants to be as a player. And I think that's number one that you got to like about him is the guy came in with a clear-cut idea of where he wants to take these last maybe few years of his career, saying he wants to retire as a Falcon. That was big. Mm-hmm. You hear him talk throughout his presser, and he talked about the nuances of understanding his teammates, wanting to have a deeper dive into who they are as well as what they do well. I heard you guys talk about it and talk about some of the things he talked about he wanted to do with his teammates and all that kind of stuff. And to take it one step further, the fact of him talking about, all right, let's say if you got this corner out and you run it at this certain angle, why did you run it there? Not just, okay, you look good running there, that's a good job putting it there, but I understand it, but why did you do it? I think that goes so much deeper into understanding your teammates and that continuity that you got to build. But this is a guy that has done it, 7 years of, you know, at least 4,000 yards, 8 seasons of 25 touchdowns or more, never thrown more than 14 interceptions in a season. It just speaks to a lot of things that you like from this guy. And he's one of those kind of guys that I think from day one, when we heard Arthur Blank talk after the season, and you heard Rod talk after the season when he first came on, the one thing they talked about was this is a roster that is ready to go win right now. And you need that guy in place to take that next step. And Kirk Cousins, whether, you know, people want to admit it or not, or whether you, you know, we're going to keep it 100, is an upgrade from what we've had in the building, and he has shown that over 12 years. So I love the fact that they went out and got the guy that they wanted, a guy that fit this system, a guy that is from day one, they said, is an elite processor, a guy who makes good decisions, a guy who is accurate with the football, a guy who plays on time within your offense. And those are things that you like to see from your QB1, I should say. So it's going to be fun to see this all, you know, kind of transpire. And obviously we got to get on the field. We got to see it happen. You got to see it go in the game. But right now everything points to this is the ideal fit for what the Falcons wanted.
Kirk talked about alignment. He talked about the owner, the GM, the coach, and the quarterback all being aligned. He felt like that was something that was in place here, and he was excited about that. You mentioned process and decision-making. That was something that Raheem Morris mentioned in his opening press conference. You and I talked about that, about being able to process stuff, make quick decisions, get the ball out on time. Those are things in keeping it 100, we have not had.
For sure.
We have not had here. Taking care of the football. He's a 3-to-1 interception to touchdown, or a touchdown to interception ratio guy over his last six seasons. I mean, you can go into the numbers. He's number 8 all time in passing against pressure. Mm. He's one of the top 5 play action guys. Mm. Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier are being guys he's going to play action off of. If there's anybody you're going to bite on somebody, those are two running backs you're going to bite on.
No doubt.
The way this team is running. So all that being said,
I'm curious too. I want to ask because there was something that kept coming up over the course of this offseason at the beginning where it's like Ra and Terry both said we want to be aggressive in going after a quarterback. To me, this actually was the safest choice that they could make, to go after someone who you know exactly what you're getting with Kirk Cousins. Yes, he's coming off of an Achilles injury, and there are some unknowns with that. But in terms of like a guy who is ready-made to come in and change the scope of what you can do offensively immediately, there is a safety net almost built in, I think, with Kirk Cousins and what he could be.
How much, and that's a good point, Tori, how much did Raheem's history with Matt Ryan, because you brought this up last time we had a chance to talk, how much did that shape this? Because you knew what you were going to get when number 2 stepped on the field. And this guy's a similar guy. And I'm trying, I don't want to say that, hey, Matt Ryan's being brought back. This is Kirk Cousins is his own guy.
Yeah.
And in a lot of situations, you can look at some of the ratings and the numbers, and it may be a little bit of a step up in his efficiency at the quarterback position. But how much did that play into this?
I mean, I think it had to, right? Like, going back to what I was saying, it's like you needed, and what y'all have been saying too, you needed a certain sense of stability at the quarterback position that you haven't had in a long time. And I know that I've said this time and time again, I don't think people knew what type of stability and consistency that they had in Matt Ryan until he was gone. And I know that there are always going to be people who that Matt Ryan wasn't their cup of tea. There's always going to be a loud faction of individuals who that's the case. But I don't think you can look at what Matt Ryan did in Atlanta and discredit it. And I think from the past 2 seasons of going through this with Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, Taylor Heineke, nothing against those guys, but there wasn't that consistency. Mm-hmm. There wasn't that level of stability. And Kirk Cousins, over 12 seasons in the league, has provided that for 2 organizations. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have that expectation that that's going to be the same, you hope, when he comes here in Atlanta.
One thing that came to mind when both of you guys were talking about Kirk and some of the things that he's brought here, and the one thing I think everybody made not a joke about, but everybody talked about the one word that was used in the press conference all the time, which was collaboration.
Yeah. And continuity.
Continuity, yeah, collaboration, all that coming together. And, Arch, you mentioned it about what Kirk said about, hey, the owner, the GM, the head coach, everybody on the same page. And without even saying the word, I felt like Kirk was saying that in his press conference about his teammates, about the coaching staff, about how we all have to get that continuity and we have to collaborate together. And it kind of tells you that everybody from Arthur Blank to Raheem to Terry, they had an idea of the kind of guy they wanted. And then you bring in this guy and he's speaking kind of the same language without even saying it. And that's the kind of thing you got to like, is they're already having that continuity together and understand what's it going to take to be successful. And I think they have already taken the steps. And he's, you know, I was excited to hear him say, you know what, I want to be ready to go by the end of the summer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working my tail off. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to. And I want to get in there with these guys, not just on the field. But I want to make sure that I get to know these guys off the field and know what makes them tick. So that collaboration, that continuity that he's already trying to build, that the guys up here have already said, this is what we need. And then you're bringing your quarterback who's speaking the same language. You're already headed in the right direction.
Yeah, collaboration, continuity. Hey, this just in, this is the greatest team sport of all time. Not one guy is going to step on the field and make those plays. So let's transition to some of the guys that are going to make plays around Kirk Cousins, and namely at the wide receiver core. Atlanta goes out and makes a really good deal with Darnell Mooney. Let's talk about Mooney and his ability to affect the game. If you watch, go put a highlight tape onto this guy. Dude has got an incredible catch radius. He's got speed to burn. He's got tremendous hand-eye coordination, whatever you want to look at. Torrey, Darnell Mooney and adding him to this receiver room, what is that? How does that change the dynamic?
So, honestly, before we start talking about Darnell just specifically, I kind of want to pull back a little bit and look at the moves that the Falcons made from a totality at wide receiver. Because that was something, I think that when you look at one guy like Darnell Mooney going out and getting Rondale Moore, going out and getting Ray McCloud, to me, it showed a very obvious difference from what the previous staff wanted in their receivers and what this staff values in their receivers. You're talking about the last 2 years, we've been talking about how big these receivers are in Atlanta, how tall, how long. You look at the prototype of being like 6'2", 6'3". Now, all of these guys are under 6 foot. All of them, I'm pretty sure, ran under
speed.
A 4.45 when they were at the combine, whatever years they were in. And that, to me, is... So it's a marker to me of what a Zach Robinson offense could look like and what they're prioritizing. And Darnell Mooney was kind of the first, I guess, domino to fall. Because this is a guy who, you look at that prototype, you look at kind of what a Sean McVay, a Zach Robinson offense could look like. And someone like Darnell Mooney is someone who, very different from kind of some of the receivers that we've seen in this, in an Arthur Smith system, now, more than anything, the moves of this wide receiver room dictate the differences in scheme, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And Shock, I want to go directly to that. So, really good way of putting it, Torrey. Let's encompass the guys and all of them together, because there is an ability to really affect an opposition or a defense based on how you deploy them. We talked a little bit about some of the things I was watching on tape with the Rams in the playoffs, where obviously Zach was the pass game coordinator, where they got a bunch right, tight end, tight left, and they've got Cooper Kupp in the backfield. I mean, how many times did we see Puka Nacua carry the ball on a jet sweep? And here he is, a receiver, he would catch 150, 120 balls down the field.
Yeah.
So the ability to use multiple guys, Rondale Moore, Darnell Mooney, Ray McCloud, some of these guys that can be put in the game and put in the backfield slot. Talk to me about that and the ability, like Torrey's talking about, the versatility of what this offense is going to look like under Zach Robinson.
The ability to make it look so different to a defense, I think, is critical in personnel. You can have 11 personnel, you can have 12, you can have 10, and it can look like so many different things. And you come onto the field, and the defense has 2 seconds to match and say, okay, this guy's here, this guy's there. And then, oh, let's motion Bijan out the backfield. Now it changes everything. I think having these caliber and style of players allows you to do exactly what you want to do in this offense, which is you want to be very aggressive vertically, but you also have the opportunity to be really good in space. You got a guy like Ray and Rondale who are really good in space who can make it very hard on the defense. And then you add Bijan to it, you add Kyle to it, you add Drake to it, and it adds a different dimension to this offense that says, all right, no matter how you line up, we're going to be able to find the matchup that's advantageous for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's really crucial is, in this game, trying to find those key matchups, trying to find guys who have the speed, who can push the field vertically, but also I can dump it to them on an option round. They can make a couple guys miss, and boom, we got 10, 12-yard gain. These are the type of playmakers in – you look at Darnell Mooney, who's a 4-3-8 guy coming out of Tulane. We've seen what Ray and what, you know, Rondale can do in a special teams game. We've seen what they can do in space with the ball in their hands. These are all guys that absolutely at any given time can stretch the field vertically, but also can stretch it horizontally. And then you got other guys around that can add other pieces to it, like a Bijan, like a Drake, and everybody that comes into it. But then you got the guy who can get them the football too. Mm-hmm. You talked about the quick decision. Talk about getting the football out. You have a guy in Kirk Cousins who understands matchup, understands the game. I was watching something with Minnesota the other day, and they got Jordan Addison coming out of the backfield, and he's running a wheel route down the middle, and you got one guy in the middle of the field, a safety. You got to find a way to beat him down the sideline. He throws a perfect ball to him. Those are some of the things that they're going to turn on the table and say, okay, he likes this. He likes that. He understands. There are a lot of bunch sets you talked about that you used in Minnesota with the 3x1s that gives an indication of who's going to be that matchup you like. And they absolutely crush it. So there's going to be so many opportunities, I think, in his offense to exploit a defense right. in so many different ways with the players you got.
I think you make a good point, too, about the ability to stretch the field, because I feel like, and you know, I would love y'all's opinion on this, too, because I feel like that was maybe something that the Falcons were missing in the last couple of years, is the ability to stretch the field and you know, have plays beyond. Honestly, I know like Drake London can book it down the field and you can toss.
But that's
it to
the
him
one. That's the only guy you really thought about for real,
right? Yeah. Exactly. And so you're kind of were missing that extra layer of ability to be able to do that. And I think with Darnell Mooney, and I believe that if I'm thinking about the right like graphic, I believe that he with the Bears had one of the most like. Honestly, he on the long ball specifically, he was one of the most accurate pass catchers for the Bears, not just the Bears, but I think in the league as well, and beyond 20 yards downfield. That matters for this team that I think at times over the last couple of years has struggled kind of building upon explosive plays. Not just building upon explosive plays with scoring touchdowns, you know, when they get inside the 20. And so
yeah, I think the element of being able to throw it down the field, and I think that's part of what you're alluding to, mm-hmm. Torrey, is if I'm a defense, I wasn't overly concerned about Atlanta running anybody by me.
Right. Yeah, you can keep everybody
okay,
in
I mean,
front.
Pitts
yeah.
might run one down through the middle, but I've got a guy maybe trailing Pitts, maybe we sent Drake. We didn't really have anybody run by anybody. Now, if I'm on defense and I'm looking at the tape and I see Mooney blowing down the field on some kind of route, and by the way, his route integrity and how he runs routes is outstanding. Rondell Moore has got big speed. Mm-hmm. He can run. You mix that in with trying to prepare for this offense. Now all of a sudden the element of striking down the field is there, right, Shock?
So, no doubt.
But the thing that most of these games boil down to is guys being able to make plays in space. How many different times we talk about, hey, where's the next Deebo Samuel? Where's the next guy that can catch the ball underneath? These guys can all stretch it like you're talking about, Torrey, but they also can catch the ball short. Bubble screen, shallow drag route, whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, they turn a 5-yard throw into a 70-yard play or a 50-yard play. So not only do you have the ability to stretch defenses and threaten them and make them defend the back end, you also have the ability to drop it off and have guys make big plays. Nothing likes a quarterback like than a 5-yard route that turns into a 70-yard play.
Oh, no doubt. It's like having a good run game for a quarterback. You have guys who you can hand it off to, and you can make 3-4 yards out of nothing. You got guys on the outside who – you could just dump it down to, like Archer's mentioned, and be able to make something happen with it. And that's, I think, the nature of this league. And that's why you think about some of the top receivers in the game, when they have the football in their hands, it's usually they're doing great things after the catch. Mm-hmm. And that's what you want. You want to be able to, you know, find the matchup you like. You got one-on-one. You're playing man coverage in this league. You expect your guy to go win. And then when he wins, make something happen. I think that's why you look around and you look at some of the greats around the National Football League now, and you see him running away from guys or you see him making guys miss. I think that's why people look at a guy like Tyreek Hill so much, because if he catches a slant, he catches a hitch, he got a chance to go at any time. Yeah. And it doesn't happen just to be a go route. And you can look at a guy like Rondell Moore, who's in that same kind of mold and has that same kind of build, that if you give him a chance – he might go. So
and I'll tell you what that could do to you as a defensive coordinator. Now you're thinking, okay, am I willing to play man coverage against these guys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if this guy gets clean and they throw a crossing route to him, he's going to go because I got guys that are following other people. Do I have to play more zone? So now all of a sudden as an offense, you're dictating to a defense how you're going to play.
Yeah.
And that's what Zach Robinson's trying to do, not only with the personnel, with the deployment, all that kind of stuff, but just the ability of the players to kind of dictate on the other side of the ball. Okay, add Charlie Warner to that, a tight end who I think is going to help in the blocking game. He's also mm-hmm. going to help on special teams. He's a guy that is accomplished. He can catch the football if he needs to. Obviously, you got Kyle Pitts as your outstanding tight end. Kadarius Hodge, mm-hmm. add him in. Outstanding special teams
yeah.
player,
right.
Torrey. This is a guy that's kind of a core guy. Mm-hmm. I think we forget about that side
we
of the
do.
Ball.
And I think I can't remember who made this point to me a couple of days ago, but they were like, if you need somebody who can just go out – 15 yards downfield, make a catch, keep moving. That's Kadarius Hodge. He has been incredibly, I think, almost to the point of, I use the word reliable a lot with Kadarius, and he's shown it. It's why they keep bringing him back. But to the going back to your point, too, about Charlie Warner and going back to all of the things that we can now see the Falcons may be able to do in terms of spreading out defenses and making them kind of play on their heels a little bit, how much does that impact what they're able to do in a run game that is already very successful?
Great point.
When you pull it back and you kind of see, and you give Tyler Allgeier doesn't even need a hole.
His yards after initial
contact is outsane. But then you have Bijan Robinson, who has the same playmaking ability where sometimes guys can't even touch him because of what he can do in space. So we're talking about these receivers and what they can do, but as I'm sitting here thinking about Charlie Warner blocking, it's like if Charlie Warner gets one block downfield, it's like Bijan Robinson may be gone 15, 20 yards.
And here's the other part about this. We talk about a guy like Kadarius Hodge, a guy like Charlie Warner. You need guys on the team who understand their role. There are so many guys who, of course, you all want to be the playmaker. You want to make plays. You want to catch football. You want to do things for your team. But there's other times where I remember you coming into a meeting room and you turn on the tape and it's a guy pancaking a guy. Mm. It's a guy springing a guy for a big run. Mm-hmm. And you got a guy who's doing his job. He's on the backside of it and he cuts it off. And that's the reason why the cutback was there. There's so many guys that's going to be on this team, like a Charlie Warner, like a Kadarius Hodge. I remember last year, you wouldn't see Kadarius Hodge for 3-4 games, and then all of a sudden here he has 3-4 catches in a ball game. He has a couple big first downs.
Big catches, too.
And then boom, there you go. That's what you needed.
He had the best average for yards per catch. I think it was 16.6. It led the team last year. So it goes back to that whole reliability point
for sure.
As well.
Monster grabs. Speaking of pancaking, guys, Storm Norton re-signed to the team as well. You start talking about depth.
Yeah.
How many times
does
Storm Norton step in on either side to play some offensive tackle? I think that's a great get there. It's a guy that understands what's going to be expected of him. You mentioned filling in the role, but he's going to play your swing tackle.
Love that.
How many times you go through a season where you don't have an offensive lineman get hurt? Rarely happens, especially at that offensive tackle position. Big addition, 6'7", 320 pounds, Storm Norton back on this football team.
I remember
as
I was talking,
swing tackle.
Sorry to interrupt, but I remember talking to Dwayne Ledford a couple weeks ago about what the goal for this offensive line should be in 2024. And he made such a good point because he was like, we know what the starting five is. They've played together. They have a lot of time together. They understand what to do together. Now it's about building depth behind them because you, like what you're saying, you're never going to get to a point where you have all five for every single game, every single rep, every single snap. That's non-existent in this league. So the fact that they went out and brought back a guy like Storm Norton, and also I think we're missing too, Ryan Neusel, he's back as well.
Good call. Neusel played quite a bit.
Right, these are guys who had significant reps in depth. I can't wait to see kind of how Dwayne Ledford honestly takes this starting five to the next level, but how he has this goal of it's beyond them too. It's the Storm Nortons, it's the Ryan Neusels.
The one thing that comes to mind for me is one guy I think about when you guys talk about adding depth and having a guy, and it's on the other side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk so much about the preseason and how much it means and trying to find this depth and find these guys. And when you put them in, then obviously they can still fill that void and play to a high level. And it's a reason why you want these guys on your team like a Storm Norton. What about Nate Landman last year? What if you didn't have him? You know, he was coming into the season, thought, oh, he's a depth guy, he's played some, but he wasn't really having that role.
Balled out.
And was a big-time player when Troy went down. So you got to love those type of guys who – when given their opportunity, when needed to step in and fill a role, they fill a role. And I think Storm's that kind of guy.
Yeah, and in all honesty, now, and I'll ask this question at the end here, when you begin to evaluate what you're looking at in late April, because of the way Nate Landon played, because of the way Storm Norton played, and the next guy I'm going to bring up, Kentavious Street, a guy because of injury, who's a depth guy. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, now you can kind of muddy the water for everybody else. Where's Atlanta going? Mm-hmm. What are they going to do? But let's talk Kentavious Street real quickly. Kentavious is back. He got hurt late in the year, came in because of some injuries. And I thought that he really did a nice job filling in. from a depth standpoint, the flexibility that he gives you.
You're never going to replace someone like Grady Jarrett. Yeah. Like, that's never going to happen. He is the heart, soul, everything that you need in a defender and a leader on your team. You're never going to find that outside of Grady Jarrett in the way that Grady Jarrett provides it. So it was never, for Kentavious Street, it was never about being Grady Jarrett. And when David Onyemata was going through his ankle injury, it was never about being David Onyemata. Mm-hmm. It was just making sure that there wasn't this like significant drop-off in play from this defensive front. And if you go back and look at the numbers from this defense, especially in the run game, you didn't really see that much of a difference. And I think that's all you can kind of ask for. And I really liked the thought that it's like, okay, yes, Kentavious Street is somebody who, let's be honest, over the course of his time in the league has been injured for a lot of it. This was finally, I really did feel like this past year, his early time with Philadelphia, and then the back half of the year with Atlanta, he was really like coming into his own and really kind of finding a niche in what he does best. And, you know, as they're moving kind of to a 3-4, which I know we can talk, you know, defensive scheme all day long, and sometimes I feel like it doesn't matter sometimes. Like, you're going to put Grady Jarrett on the field even though he's not like a true nose tackle. Yeah. Like, but for a guy like Kentavious Street to have this reassurance that, like, we liked what we saw to you from you in five games, we're bringing you back. Like, in five games, that's all he played for this
and
team.
And then he had the most iconic celebration. I mean, come on. Remember the fumble recovery? Right. Goes slide versus Minnesota, matter of fact. Slides in the end zone with his arm behind his head. Like, just, I mean, come on. It's
so
iconic.
Good.
Yeah, anytime a big guy can pull that out. But Kentavious Street, as you mentioned, didn't play a ton for the team, but for him to have done enough in the minutes that he got to play, for him to impress a brand new staff, Jimmy Lake coming in, you got Raheem Morris, who's going to be very much tied to that defense. They loved what they saw there. Remember, this is a group that's been coaching Aaron Donald and some people like that. So when you begin to look at their impressions of what Kentavious Street brought to the table, it's a big deal.
And here's the other part you think about too. You remember talk about Leffert.
Yeah.
How many times do you think Raheem went to him and said, "Hey, who gave you some fits in practice?" You know, sometimes you look at a game and say, "Oh, you didn't have the numbers, this didn't show up," but there's so much other things that go into a decision of, okay, can this guy fit we want to do? What kind of guy is he? And say, okay, well, this guy gave us a lot of fits in practice. This guy was a guy who was, you know, a penetrator. This guy that, you know, stood his ground. He, you know, didn't let the lineman get up on backers. Those are the kind of things that you look at and say, all right, this is a guy that we could use because we got a guy who know him, who's went against our offensive line, that gives you that credibility and says, all right, this is why we know we could give that to him. Maybe the numbers don't show it in a game. Mm-hmm. Maybe he had, you know, three or four games where, you know, he didn't do much. But you look at some of the things that he can do in practice, it gives you an advantage.
All right, last thing on Falcons Audible here presented by AT&T. Does this clear up the picture for you guys at all as to what late April looks like on that Thursday night when Atlanta approaches the podium?
Oh, big deep breath right there.
I'm going to say yes, but the thing is I have been saying this team needs to draft an edge rusher in the first round for the last 3 years, and they've not done it. This regime has not done it. They have valued offensive weapons, the quote-unquote best player available at the spot that they're picking. So even though I'm sitting here saying, like, yeah, it's a no-brainer, they're going to go edge rusher in the first round, I can't, like, truly in my heart of hearts fully believe that, because I do, we talked about this the other day, I really like this wide receiver group. I really do. I like how deep it is. I like the idea of, but the thing is like, because it's so deep, it's like, do you not gamble, but to a certain extent gamble, like waiting for one of these guys to fall into the second round? You have the option to move back in up into the first if you really truly felt like you needed to get one of these receivers. So for that, I do lean edge rusher, and I know this is probably going to be a hot take too. I also kind of lean cornerback as well.
Yeah,
I do still think that the edge and cornerback, because of all of the moves in free agency that the Falcons have made to rebuild in a sense, or not rebuild, but restock this wide receiver room, and obviously quarterback with Kirk Cousins. There hasn't been a lot of defensive moves. That's not happened to this point outside of bringing back Nate Landman and Kentavious Street. So I'm really ready for the Falcons to make a splash defensive move.
Yeah, it's interesting, really real quick, Chuck. It's interesting that you make that analogy, because look at last season. okay, last season in free agency, defense dominated.
Right.
For sure.
The draft was the offensive mm-hmm. side of the football, right? You had the running back and lineman come off the board right away. Yeah. Okay. We're flipping the script.
Right, exactly.
All offensive guys in free agency. Does that mean, can the fans say, this is the year Atlanta's going to attack the defense in the draft?
I think you can. And I think it goes back to the last 2-3 years under Terry. It's been best player available versus need.
They did not need Bijan Robinson.
Exactly.
You know, when you looked at that 53-man roster when the draft started, they did not need Bijan Robinson.
Tyler coming off 1,000 yards.
They did not. I mean, I'll say this too. I don't think they needed Drake London when they got him. They didn't need Kyle Pitts when they got him at number 4 overall. They've never been the type to really be like, oh, like we have to get this guy because we desperately need an edge rusher. We desperately need a receiver. Like, that's never been this regime.
But does this draft, does the position you're at now give you best player available and need?
Exactly.
At the same time.
Well, and that's a great analogy, and we're going to – believe me, this is not the first time you're going to see it.
We'll
be back, and we're going to talk draft. We know we're about a month away, and we're really itching to get to that piece of it. But it does give you a little intrigue. It gives you an idea, and I think this is a draft – that the best player available is much closer together than a definitive Bijan Robinson was the best player on the board. You could talk about Malik Nabers and Dallas Turner and wow, we comparing, that's pretty close, right? Yeah. So wide receiver, defensive back, defensive lineman, edge rusher.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Before we leave, we have a guy here who has seen this Falcons team and called every game for that 20 years, right?
Yeah, 20 years.
20 years. We can't leave without Dave Archer saying what he thinks the Falcons should do.
Yeah, you can't just give it to us.
No,
it's funny because I fall into the same boat that Tori does. I've been calling for this guy for the last few years. I truly believe that when we get to late April, Atlanta is going to squeeze the trigger on what they think is the best defensive player on the board,
no doubt.
Which
mm-hmm.
is either a corner, as you mentioned, or the edge rusher. There's some really good interior defensive linemen there. Mm-hmm. When you begin to look at what that side of the ball needs, Landman surfacing, Troy Anderson coming back. You love your linebackers. Your safeties look really good. You got one corner you're really excited about. You got a young corner that's coming on. Is that a spot? Wow. We'll be back. We'll come back. For Tori McElhaney and DJ Shockley, I'm Dave Archer. This has been Falcons Audible, presented by AT&T. Like, subscribe, review at Spotify, iTunes, AtlantaFalcons.com, YouTube. And by the way, go to AtlantaFalcons.com because Tori and everybody there are doing an unbelievable job of keeping you updated. Thanks for being with us.